Our first reading is a parable that Jesus told concerning a master who went away, leaving some of his money with three servants. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 14 to 28. And it'll be followed by part of Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth, where he advises them to use all their gifts from God in his service. First letter of Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 13 and 27 to 31a. And these two passages will be read by Chris.
Yes, our first Bible reading comes from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 14 to 28. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 28. And you can find this on page 37 of the Good News Bible. The parable of the three servants. Jesus said, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. Once there was a man who was about to go on a journey. He called his servants and put them in charge of his property. He gave to each one according to his ability. To one he gave 5,000 gold coins, to another he gave 2,000, and to another he gave 1,000. Then he left on his journey. The servant who had received 5,000 coins went at once and invested his money and earned another 5,000. In the same way, the servant who had received 2,000 coins earned another 2,000. But the servant who had received 1,000 coins went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The servant who had received 5,000 coins came in and handed over the other 5,000. "You gave me 5,000 coins, sir," he said. "Look, here are another 5,000 that I have earned." "Well done, you good and faithful servant," said his master. "You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come on in and share my happiness." Then the servant who had been given 2,000 coins came in and said, "You gave me 2,000 coins, sir. Look, here are another 2,000 that I have earned." "Well done, you good and faithful servant," said his master. "You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come on in and share my happiness." Then the servant who had received 1,000 coins came in and said, "Sir, I know you are a hard man. You reap harvests where you did not sow, and you gather crops where you did not scatter seed. I was afraid, so I went off and hid your money in the ground. Look, here is what belongs to you." "You bad and lazy servant," his master said. "You knew, did you, that I reap harvests where I did not sow and gather crops where I did not scatter seed? Well then, you should have deposited my money in the bank, and I would have received it all back with interest when I returned. Now, take the money away from him and give it to the one who has 10,000 coins. Our second reading comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 13 and 27 to 31. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 13 and 27 to 31. And you can find this on page 216 of the Good News Bible, 216. gifts from the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to all for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives to one person a message full of wisdom, while to another person the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while to another person he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit. The gift of speaking God's message, and to yet another, the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. To one person, he gives the ability to speak in strange tongues, and to another, he gives the ability to explain what is said. But it is one and the same Spirit who does all this. As he wishes, he gives a different gift to each person. Christ is like a single body, which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. In the same way, all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, have been baptized into the one body by the same Spirit, and we have all been given the one Spirit to drink. All of you are Christ's body, and each one is a part of it. In the church, God has put all in place. In the first place, apostles. In the second place, prophets. And in the third place, teachers. Then, those who perform miracles, followed by those who are given the power to heal, or to help others, or to direct them, or to speak in strange tongues. They are not all apostles or prophets or teachers. Not everyone has the power to work miracles or to heal diseases or to speak in strange tongues or to explain what is said. Set your hearts, then, on the more important gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount, which I read at the beginning of the service, tell us what our mission should be. As Christians, we should confidently stand like a light in a dark place or a city on top of a hill. If we meet a stranger who does not know that we are Christians, our beliefs should become clear through what we say and do. Have you ever met a miserable Christian? Next month is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's protest against corruption in the Roman Catholic Church. Luther was an Augustinian monk and professor of theology in Wittenberg University in what is now Germany. Picture of him in the statue in the town of Wittenberg. He argued that salvation could only be obtained through the grace of God and could not be earned. He condemned the selling of papal indulgences for the forgiveness of sins and objected to priests acting as intermediaries between lay Christians and God, thus, of course, incurring the anger of Roman Catholic Church leaders. On the 31st of October, 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses, setting out his beliefs and accusations to the door of Wittenberg University Church. He famously said, "Here I stand, I can do no other," echoing Jesus' words, of course, on the Sermon on the Mount. Churches where Luther preached, including the one where he married a former nun, can still be seen in Wittenberg, and his home in a former monastery is now a museum. Luther's actions, which started out as a protest to reform the Roman Catholic Church, mark the beginning of the Lutheran Protestant Reformation. Luther wrote and published over 600 works, including the words and music for a number of hymns, four of which are in the United Reformed Church hymn book, Rejoice and Sing. We're now going to sing verses 1 and 2 of his best-known hymn, "Our God Stands Like a Fortress Rock with Walls That Will Not Fail Us," known in German as Ein feste Burg. This is Rejoice and Sing 585. This hymn may well have been inspired by the time when Luther took refuge in Wartburg Castle while he was under the protection of the Duke of Saxony, and has come to be known as the hymn of the Reformation. Up to the 16th century, the Bible was only officially available in Latin in Catholic countries. As a result, educated priests, such as priests, were the only ones able to read the Bible for themselves. In 1521, while Luther was in Wartburg Castle, he began to translate the Bible from the original Greek for the New Testament and Hebrew for the Old Testament into everyday German. And thanks to the invention of the printing press using a movable type in the mid-15th century, everyone who could read German could now have direct access to the Word of God without having to have it interpreted to them by a priest. Despite various attempts to silence him, Martin Luther survived to die naturally in 1546 at the age of 62, which in those days was a great age. Unlike some other reformers, such as Luther's English contemporary William Tyndale, who was killed for translating the Bible into English. Now, we may think, having heard of the achievements of Martin Luther, what have I got to offer? I'm not clever. I'm not a good speaker. But there are many ways of showing that we are Christians. A kindly word to a person in need, or a thoughtful action, can be just as valuable. The famous 17th century Republican poet John Wilton, who was Latin secretary to Oliver Cromwell, went blind in middle age. However, he was still able to dictate to his daughters his long epic poem about man's fall from the grace of God, Paradise Lost, and its sequel, Paradise Regained, which were inspired by dreams. In his sonnet on his blindness, he showed that he realized that despite the loss of his talent of sight, he could still serve God. "When I consider how my light is spent, in half my time in this dark world and wide." "And that one talent which is death to hide, lodged with me useless." However, he realized that he could still continue to serve God. And perhaps the most famous line of the poem is the last one. "They also serve who only stand and wait." In the parable of the talents, or the three servants, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells the story of the uses to which three servants put their master's money in his absence. In the Authorized Translation of the Bible, the sums involved are 3, 2, and 1 talents, because a talent was a Roman coin in the time of Jesus. Because of its use in this parable, the word talent has come to mean gift or ability, which someone has, just as we heard, of course, in John Milton's sonnet on his blindness. Now, the master was equally pleased with the servant who was given 5,000 gold coins, or 5 talents, as with the one who was given 2,000 gold coins, because they both put the money to good use according to their talents, and more was expected from the one who had more, the one who had been given more in the way of gifts. Now, if the man who was given 1,000 gold coins had invested it, his master would have been just as pleased, but instead, he buried the money. Do we bury our talents? Or do we make full use of the gifts that we have been given to use them in the service of God? In the first century AD, the great cosmopolitan Greek city of Corinth was noted for its commerce, culture, immorality, and variety of religious beliefs. In his first letter to the Christians in Corinth, Paul tries to answer questions which had arisen concerning the Christian life and faith. He urges the Corinthians to heal divisions in the church and to be united. Many of the early converts to Christianity were reluctant to give up their pagan ways. More than once, Paul writes about their lapses into paganism and urges them to turn their energies back towards the true God. In their pre-Christian days, the Corinthians had experienced a pagan religious ecstasy. As Christians, Paul tells them that where ecstatic utterances proclaim Jesus as a Lord, it is the operation of the Holy Spirit. It appears, however, that members of the Corinthian church were placing rather too much emphasis on this aspect of Christianity. Paul reminds them that this is only one of the ways in which the Spirit of God is active in the church. There are many different spiritual gifts, and people can serve God in many different ways. The Holy Spirit is active through all the work and worship of the church, including teaching and healing, faith and preaching. All these have an equal valuable place in the church. Paul goes on to compare the Christian church with the human body. Although some parts may appear more important than others, in fact, all parts of the body are essential to each other. Some less spectacular parts may actually be more important. In the church, there are apostles, preachers, healers, and administrators, but they're all needed for a proper balance. As Paul writes in the next part of his letter, the greatest gift of all is love, which all Christians should have, because without love, that is, caring for and befriending those we meet who are in need, the other gifts are without value. Love is patient and kind. He's not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The message of Paul's letter is that God needs all of us. All he asks is that we should do our best to use the abilities that we have been given. We may sometimes think that there is little that we as individuals can do, but until we try, we never find out. If we all work together and encourage each other, then with God's help, we can learn to achieve so much more as we use our various abilities and resources in his service.